So over the past several years, I've been interested to defend a revisionary view about the interpretation of quantum theories. And this is a view David Albert and Barry Lohr proposed and labeled wave function realism. It's a view that was early considered, yet quickly discarded by Schrödinger. According to the wave function realists, we should take quantum theories to reveal to us that contrary to what perceptual appearances suggest, the world we inhabit is not fundamentally a world of discrete objects in a three-dimensional space, or even of matter fields in a four-dimensional space-time. Instead, the world is fundamentally constituted by a more peculiar field, the quantum wave function, which inhabits a much different and higher dimensional space when adequate to capturing the full range of pure quantum states. For my part, I don't know if wave function realism is correct or even if I believe that it's correct. It's like all proposals for interpreting quantum theories and what they reveal to us about the fundamental structure of reality, a piece of speculative metaphysics. And as a piece of speculative metaphysics, I mean, not the most speculative metaphysics, it's coming from quantum theories, but it is speculative metaphysics. And as a piece of speculative metaphysics, it is, when contrasted with other proposals, like those falling under the classification of primitive ontology theories, much stranger and much more revisionary to ordinary way of thinking. But the frequently startling lessons of quantum theories certainly present us with a suggestion that the world may be fundamentally as strange as a wave function realist says it is. And since at this stage of inquiry, no one interpretation is yet captured the common imagination, I believe it's worth following these suggestions out and seeing whether they may be made tenable, what they would imply, and whether they may bear fruit. I know I'm not speaking very loudly, but am I speaking loudly enough that everybody can hear? Okay, thank you. The purpose of the present paper is to respond to recent criticism about wave function realism based on the fact that it's until now been formulated and defended solely within the context of non-relativistic quantum theories. Although non-relativistic quantum theories are useful as approximations and teach us important lessons about a range of real-world phenomena, it seems that if we're going to learn things about our world from our consideration of quantum theories, these are going to have to be lessons that remain even when we move beyond the non-relativistic to the relativistic domain. After all, we know our world to be a relativistic world. With this in mind, Wayne Myhrvold, Chris Timpson, and David Wallace have all argued that wave function realism is an interpretation reliant on features of quantum theories that do not carry over into a relativistic context. Therefore, wave function realism does not adequately capture aspects of the fundamental nature of our world according to quantum theories. Now, it's an interesting question, I think, whether wave function realism must, to be viable as an interpretation of quantum theories, have application beyond the domain of non-relativistic quantum theories. Must an interpretation of quantum theory be workable as an interpretation for all quantum theories? I don't know, but for the purposes of the present paper, I'll just bracket this question and address the issue of what good wave function realism may be as an interpretation of relativistic quantum theories. Myhrvold, Wallace, and Timpson raise specific concerns based on issues that come into play when we move to a relativistic setting. After a brief primer on how wave function realism looks in the non-relativistic context, I'm going to recap these objections. I'll argue that none of these objections give conclusive reason to reject wave function realism. However, some do present a challenge to the wave function realist to be clearer about what the view looks like when extended especially to quantum field theories. And thus I provide a sketch of what the view looks like in relativistic contexts, one that's straightforwardly extendable from the simple case I'll describe in detail to more complicated ones. This will establish the main point of the paper, namely that the primary motivation for wave function realism is one that rests in no way on details peculiar to non-relativistic quantum theories. And so there's a prima facie case for a suitable extension to the relativistic domain. Okay, so that's the introduction. I'm going to get a slide. Wave function realists explore the possibility that what quantum mechanics is trying to tell us about the world is that what appear to be numerically distinct objects located in separate regions of space are in fact manifestations of a more fundamental field, the quantum wave function, which lives on a less familiar space, one quite different than that presented in ordinary perceptual experience. Practically all discussions of wave function realism have until now been carried out in the context of non-relativistic quantum mechanics, where one starts the project of interpretation from data suggesting the world is constituted by a determinate number of particles that may be in more or less determinate states, or superpositions of momentum, position, and so on, states which may be correlated with one another by relations of entanglement. The wave function realist then argues, appealing to the virtues of metaphysical frameworks that are separable and local, and I'll flesh out these arguments in a later section, the more fundamental reality underlying the appearance of a world of many particles in three-dimensional space with non-separable features and possibly non-local influence. The more fundamental reality underlying that appearance is one of a single entity, the wave function, characterized by an assignment of numbers, amplitude, and phase values to a space with the structure of a classical configuration space, one for which every point in the space corresponds to a state in which all particles have determinate positions. Since particles in the quantum description do not have determinate positions, generally the wave function at any given time will be a field smeared out over many locations in this space. The field is then said to be the fundamental reality with the initial particle description we started with ontically derivative. Now, a variety of questions are typically raised about this proposal. For example, if the fundamental reality is a field on a space with the structure of a configuration space, which would mean the fundamental space is extremely high dimensional, with current estimates for the observable number of particles in the universe being 10 to the 80, why does it seem we inhabit a world of discrete objects in a much lower dimensional space? Wave function realists have addressed this question, often by arguing that the contingent dynamical behavior of the wave function is such as to generate the existence of what may accurately be described as non-fundamental three-dimensional objects that may have at least moderately determinate three-dimensional locations. Wave function realists and their supporters, including David Wallace, debate the best way to fill in this account. So David Albert, Barry Lower, Jill North, and myself have all made proposals about how to do this, how to recover three-dimensional objects from a fundamental ontology that's a wave function in this high-dimensional space. The critics with whom I'm engaging in this paper don't question whether this project can be carried out. They're all explicit that they don't see any, like, in principle obstacles to that. The question for them is whether or not this is going to be a plausible interpretation that works for relativistic quantum theories. Okay, so what are the objections? I count six different critiques of wave function realism in the literature, specifically citing the difficulties of extending it to a relativistic setting. And so I'm just going to describe these first. Before I respond to them, I'll just describe them first in chronological order of publication. So the first all come from Chris and David's paper from 2010, Quantum Mechanics on Space-Time State Realism. So the first critique is that there's no good account of the sort of space the wave function is meant to be defined on when wave function realism gets applied to relativistic quantum field theories. In the non-relativistic case, as I already mentioned, the wave function will be defined on a space that has the structure of a classical configuration space. And this is a space with 3 times n dimensions, where n is the number of particles in the universe, particles which are claimed to be ontically derivative. For the wave function realism, this provides a top-down description of the fundamental space, since particles aren't fundamental, but it's nonetheless one that singles out a primitive structure. For a non-relativistic quantum theory, the character of the configuration space is straightforward, since particle number is assumed to be conserved. However, in quantum field theories, particle number is not conserved, and moreover, systems may evolve into states describable as superpositions of particle number. This undermines the possibility of understanding the world as simply constituted by a relativistic wave function as a field on some unique determinate configuration space. Wallace and Timpson consider an alternative possibility that for relativistic quantum theories, The wave function realist can instead postulate an infinite number of non-normalized wave functions, a single particle wave function living on a three-dimensional space, a two-particle wave function living on a six-dimensional space, and so on. However, they rightly assume the wave function realists will not prefer to adopt such an ontologically profligate metaphysics. Okay, second objection, same paper. Second objection is that wave function realism, quote, obscures the role of space-time in quantum theories. Here, Wallace and Timpson are especially concerned with quantum field theories. Standard presentations of quantum field theories work by assigning field operators to localized space-time regions. This is true as well in algebraic quantum field theories, where algebras are associated with space-time regions. Systems are not described as in the Schrödinger wave dynamical representation of non-relativistic quantum theories in terms of the evolution of a wave function in configuration space. And so the representations wave function realism is based on simply are not standard representations in relativistic quantum theories. Third, also same paper. This is the last one from that, at least the last one I found. Maybe there are more. A third critique relates to the demand of relativistic covariance. To get a theory of the evolution of the wave function that's relativistically covariant, one sacrifices what David Albert has called narratability. That is, there'll be no unique account of how the wave function evolves from one time to the next. And I'm going to get into this in a little more detail later. I'll explain the narratability failure. But for now, I'll just say, Wallace and Timpson press this failure of narratability not as leading to a decisive refutation of wave function realism. Rather, what they argue is that this failure of narratability is obscure and surprising in the context of wave function realism, where one's supposed to be achieving a separable metaphysics. It's, by contrast, unsurprising in the context of rival interpretations of quantum theories, including the one they prefer, space-time state realism, which is explicitly non-separable. The next two come from a paper published towards the end of 2015 from Wayne Myhrvold called What is a Wave Function? This critique aims to show that in the context of relativistic theories especially, the existence of a wave function is derivative on the antecedent existence of structures defined on ordinary space-time. Myhrvold shows, and this is much of the work of the paper, how wave functions, to the extent that they may be constructed in quantum field theories, may be defined in terms of the global quantum state, vacuum state, and field operators associated with points of space-time. So he concludes from these derivations that the wave function can't be more fundamental than spatiotemporal ontology, as a wave function realist believes. Okay, the next one's a little more complicated. So Myhrvold also argues that in the case of relativistic quantum theories, the wave function cannot be thought of as a field in the way the wave function realist presupposes. This would require its specification by an assignment of local values to points or subregions of the space it occupies. Myhrvold argues that facts about the state of the wave function at arbitrary subregions of the wave function space are not local to those regions. And here's how we argue. So I'll sketch this argument now. I just think it'll be easier to go through this now, and then we'll come back to a response later. Okay, here's the argument. And he goes through this several times with like slightly different cases, but it's always the same basic idea. Consider two states. S1 is a state in which a single particle wave function takes on a non-zero value at some point x. S2 is a state just like the first near x, but differs in that there is with certainty a particle confined to a space-time region r far from x. Now, I'm just going to help myself out here. It follows by construction that in the second state, the probability that an array of detectors spread out all through space will report a particle detection at x and nowhere else is zero. And this means that the single particle wave function for S2 must take the value zero at x. From this, it follows that a non-zero value of a single particle wave function at x is incompatible with there being a particle definitely located in region R, no matter how far away R is from x. Meerwold concludes from this that the assignment of the non-zero value to some point near x in S1 is not a local fact about that point. This, he claims, means that wave functions are not like traditional fields, contra the wave function realist. All right, and then the last objection. This is from a forthcoming paper by David Wallace called Against Wave Function Realism. It's coming out in Current Controversies in Philosophy of Science. David Wallace argues that the privileging of the position basis is problematic in the context of quantum field theories, where quantum states and observables are typically defined in terms of a momentum basis. We can see that at least in the non-relativistic case, the wave function realist does privilege a position basis, as she defines the wave function as an assignment of values to points in a space with the structure of a classical configuration space, as opposed to some other kind of state space. We might think that it's unproblematic that quantum field theories generally characterize states in terms of a momentum basis, as one could simply Fourier transform to achieve a position representation. But this is not straightforward in the case of quantum field theories. There it turns out that even if representations of exact states of a position can be achieved, these have the consequence of violating Lorentz covariance in a way that Paul Teller clearly explains in his interpretive introduction to quantum field theory. And so if the privileging of position is an essential feature of wave function realism, not merely confined to the interpretation of non-relativistic quantum theories, wave function realism can't be generalized into an interpretation of relativistic quantum theories. All right, so these are the objections. Now, what's going to be helpful to note is that what all of these critics prefer is an interpretation according to which quantum theories describe an assignment of values, operators, or algebras to space-time regions rather than to the high-dimensional space preferred by the wave function realists. This is a view that Wallace and Timpson have labeled space-time state realism. Adopting this interpretation avoids the privileging of the position basis and the dependence on a fixed number of particles that the framing of an ontology in terms of a configuration space representation requires. However, before giving up the high-dimensional metaphysics favored by the wave function realist and moving to space-time state realism, it's worth considering why the wave function realist favored such a picture in the first place. I'll argue that the wave function realist has the same reason to reject space-time state realism as she had for rejecting the picture of fundamental particles arranged in three-dimensional space. The motivations for the high-dimensional picture carry over to the relativistic case, even if the applicability of a high-dimensional configuration space representation do not. Shrugging off the constraints of the wave function and configuration space picture, we can begin to see what a more plausibilistic relativistic extension of wave function realism may look like and how one may respond to the six criticisms I've just outlined. Okay, so what I want to get to now is just, somewhat briefly, why higher dimensions? Why do the wave function realists want to move to higher dimensions away from ordinary three-dimensional spatial fundamental ontology in the first place? Now, we can start by asking, why the wave metaphysics? Originally, in the 1920s and 30s, the preference for something like a wave metaphysics for quantum mechanics arose from the desire to avoid the dynamical and ontic discontinuities and perplexities rampant in the more dominant interpretations of Bohr and Heisenberg. However, in the interim, alternative interpretations of quantum theories have been developed in some detail that lack the problems of those of Bohr and Heisenberg. And one prominent example is the de Broglie-Bohm theory, which is standardly interpreted, proposes an ontology for quantum mechanics consisting of a determinate number of particles with determinate positions evolving in a three-dimensional space in a way determined by the state of the wave function. The wave function, as it's now standardly interpreted by these folks, something with a gnomic status guiding the matter in the theory, as in the view of Dorr and Goldstein and Zanghi and Allori. Given a distinct set of interpretive rivals, the primary motivation for wave function realism becomes somewhat different. right? It's not to avoid discontinuities. Now, the advantage wave function realism is supposed to have over rival interpretations of quantum theories one finds today, and keeping in mind these discussions are generally held in the context of non-relativistic quantum mechanics, is that only wave function realism provides a metaphysics that's fundamentally both separable and local. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about that, just be clear what we have in mind. So both separability and locality are features that may apply to physical systems bearing constituents that that individually occupy distinct regions of the space they occupy. A system located at a spatial region R is separable when it contains subsystems located at non-overlapping proper subregions of R, and all states of the system at spacetime region R are wholly determined or grounded by the individual states of its subsystems. All states of the system's subsystems are determined by states at their respective subregions, and so on. Systems in quantum mechanically entangled states, such as a pair of atoms or photons, are often thought to exhibit fundamental non-separability. They're obtained relational facts about correlations or anti-correlations among their features that are not grounded in any intrinsic features of the constituent spatially separated atoms or photons. On this view, such relational features are brute and metaphysically ungrounded. Wave function realism provides an explanation for correlations among entangled systems that seeks to avoid fundamental non-separability. Although the explanation for correlations among entangled pairs can't lie in any intrinsic features of the relata, the intrinsic state of the system's wave function provides a more fundamental fact capable of explaining the observable correlations. And since there are no relational facts about the wave function that are not reducible to intrinsic facts about the values assigned to it at each point in its space, the wave function metaphysics is fundamentally separable. The issue of locality and non-locality is frequently conflated with that of separability, non-separability in the scientific and philosophical literature. But unlike separability, which concerns non-causal metaphysical determination or grounding, the features of systems in terms of features of subsystems, in the sense to be discussed here, locality is a causal notion. The rough idea is that a system is local if there's no action at a spatiotemporal distance in that system that's not mediated by a chain of causes at intermediate distances. But just as entangled systems are often thought to instantiate fundamental non-separability, so they are thought to manifest fundamental non-locality. This was famously argued to be a consequence of quantum entanglement in the EPR paper of 1935, assuming quantum mechanics is able to give a complete description of reality. And subsequently, non-locality has appeared to have been demonstrated in many experimental settings. However, just as the wave function realist fundamental metaphysics avoids non-separability, so does it avoid fundamental non-locality. What appears in the derivative three-dimensional metaphysics as non-local influence is explained by the evolution of the wave function in its space where there are no non-local influences. How exactly this behavior works depends on the dynamical laws associated with the wave function. Both collapse and non-collapse dynamics are possible, but in no situation does an event in one region of the high-dimensional space trigger an instantaneous or unmediated response in some other region. In a collapse dynamics, collapses may be instantaneous and even spontaneous, but no non-local influence will be involved. And I'll just say, the motivation is to give a picture that's fundamentally both separable and local. You can ask, well, is there still derivative non-separability, derivative non-locality on the picture? For wave function realists, I mean, most of whom do, want to say there is some derivative three-dimensional reality. What they will say is that that three-dimensional reality is non-separable in the sense that it just satisfies this definition. So there will be relational features of pairs of photons that aren't derived from features of the subsystems. That doesn't mean that there are unexplained relations. Those relations are going to be explained by the wave function, which is something that's not a constituent, right? Not a subsystem of entangled pairs. So there will be derivative non-separability. It's just fundamentally the metaphysics is separable. For locality, the metaphysics is neither fundamentally nor derivatively non-local, because the claim is that there is no non-local influence between entangled pairs. There are correlations. Correlations are explained by this more fundamental underlying picture. Okay, so we can see that the motivation for wave function realism comes from the sense that quantum phenomena, in particular the observed correlations that are a consequence of entanglement, may simply be manifestations of a separable local metaphysics inhabiting a higher dimensional space. In the non-relativistic case, this discussion begins by considering what appear to be spatially separated particles of a determinate number. However, at least prima facie, the case for wave function realism may be extended to consider any type of events occurring at distinct space-time locations for which there appear to be correlations induced by entanglement. The wave function realist will take these correlations to suggest that what appear to be distinct events occurring at distinct space-time locations are manifestations of a more fundamental ontology in a higher dimensional framework. Okay, now, this is a hard question. How to extend wave function realist to wave function realism to a relativistic context? And this is complicated by the fact that the basic mathematical structure of relativistic quantum theories and quantum field theories, especially when interactions are favored in, is not entirely clear. But disputants seem to agree that whatever the best way to express the mathematical structure of these theories, they ultimately involve an assignment of values of some kind, operators or algebras, to regions of space-time. From this, the critics of wave function realism infer that the ontology of these theories must involve features instantiated at space-time regions. And this is the inference that the wave function realist wishes to call into question. So for example, we can consider Wallace and Timpson's space-time state realism, and because you can hear I'm losing my voice, maybe David or Chris.
Yeah. Suppose one were to assume that the universe could be divided into subsystems, assigned to each subsystem a density operator. We then have a large number of bearers of properties, the subsystems. A density operator assigned to each one represents the intrinsic properties that each subsystem instantiates, just as the field value assigned to each space-time point in electromagnetism, or the complex number assigned to each point in wave function realism, represented intrinsic properties.
Okay, so that's one proposal. For those with concerns about, for example, unitarily equivalent representation, Wallace and Timpson allow that one can also think of the ontology in terms of an assignment of algebras of operators to each space-time region, rather than operators of some kind. Wallace and Timpson both acknowledge and embrace the fact that although relativistic quantum systems can be characterized in terms of an assignment of algebras or density operators to space-time regions, interpreting this literally leads to a non-separable metaphysics. Facts about the assignment of such features to the subregions of a space-time region R do not determine the assignment of features to R. We may debate the importance of having a metaphysics that's separable. Wallace and Timpson question its importance, admittedly, and in a forthcoming paper, I attempt to lay out the case for separability and locality in some detail. But like it or not, wave function realists are motivated by the desire to have a separable metaphysics. There does not seem to be any prima facie argument that the desire for a relativistic theory conflicts with the desire for a theory that's fundamentally both separable and local. And so space-time state realism, although it may have the virtue of producing a metaphysics that's close to the mathematical structure of quantum field theories, insofar as that's a virtue, will only be a stopping point for the wave function realists on the way to a fundamentally separable metaphysics. The simplest way for the wave function realist to proceed developing an interpretation of relativistic quantum theories, then, would be in many respects analogous to the way she achieved the high-dimensional representation in the non-relativistic case. Starting from an apparent ontology of localized systems in three-dimensional space with non-separable features, the wave function realist posited a more fundamental, higher-dimensional space in which each point corresponded to an entire three-dimensional configuration. In the relativistic case, for simplicity, let's consider the version of space-time state realism in which operators are assigned to subregions of the total space-time manifold. As mentioned, for a total region R, the features of two non-overlapping but together exhaustive subregions of R, let's say R1 and R2, will not determine all features of R. So For example, let's start by considering a Fox-based representation in which the A and the N can't wear a hat in the PowerPoint. I don't know why. but these are raising and number operators. For quanta, and here I'll just consider bosons of momentum K and their assignments to regions of space-time. Suppose there is an assignment of the number operator to a total number operator to a total space-time region R with expectation values that would lead us to predict either a total of two or three quanta with determinant momentum K and R. The system's in a superposition of a state with three quanta in R1 and zero quanta in R2, and a state with zero quanta in R1 and two quanta in R2. Confined to the low-dimensional image, there's non-separability. Okay? The fact about the quantum state at R is not wholly determined by the states of its subregions. What things are like at R1 is inextricably correlated with the situation at R2, but this fact is left out if we just look at what things are like at R1 and R2 individually. To achieve a separable metaphysics, the wave function realist can postulate a higher dimensional space in which each point corresponds to an assignment of operators to the subregions of R. In this case, you'll postulate a field with non-zero amplitude at a point corresponding to three quanta at R1 and zero at R2, and another point corresponding to zero quanta at R1 and two at R2. Generalizing from the simple case in which we're just considering two regions, R1 and R2, and assuming the space-time representation from which we began is continuous, the higher dimensional space will be continuously infinite dimensional with each point corresponding to an assignment of operators to all space-time points or smallest regions of the low-dimensional representation. This recipe further generalizes to the more abstract algebraic approach in which algebras of operators are assigned to space-time regions. In that case, each point in the higher-dimensional space will correspond to an assignment of algebras to points or smallest regions of the low-dimensional representation, and thus one will recover a separable and local fundamental metaphysics. At this stage, we may note that we're no longer considering wave functions on a space with the structure of a configuration space as a central element in the wave function realist fundamental ontology. What we have instead is a field, one defined in another kind of high-dimensional space that's correlated with assignments of values to regions in a four-dimensional ontology. This is a simple consequence of the fact that the low-dimensional, non-separable representations from which the separability and locality arguments depart are different in the relativistic case than they were in the non-relativistic case. And so the point I want to make here, and this is really the central point of the paper, is that there's a deeper interpretive ideology underlying wave function realism, that which guides one to a metaphysics for quantum theories lacking fundamental non-separability and non-locality. This ideology or interpretive framework, call it localism if you like, leads one to adopt a picture of a wave function on a space with the structure of a classical configuration space in the context of non-relativistic quantum theories, but it will lead one to adopt a different metaphysical interpretation for relativistic quantum mechanics and quantum field theories. Once we see that the wave function in configuration space view is only an instance of a broader strategy of interpretation applied to that special case of non-relativistic quantum mechanics, and that relativistic implementations of this strategy will not rely on the configuration space framework, some of the objections to wave function realism canvassed earlier can be quickly dispensed with. Okay, so here's the list again of objections. Recall the first objection was that wave function realism, as applied to relativistic quantum theories in which particle number is not conserved, lead to an ontologically profligate picture of an infinite sequence of configuration spaces. Viewing the wave function and configuration space picture as an implementation of an interpretive strategy that applies only to non-relativistic theories, this objection doesn't get off the ground. The wave function realist need not and should not offer the wave function and configuration space picture as an interpretation of relativistic quantum theories. Now, there would nonetheless be something to this objection were the wave function realist not able to suggest an alternative picture applicable in the case of relativistic quantum theories. But as we saw just in the previous slide, these concerns are unfounded. In the case of relativistic theories, the wave function realists can start from the same place as the space-time state realists. So start from this non-separable metaphysics of operators or algebra assignments to space-time regions, and infer from there a more fundamental separable metaphysics in a higher dimensional space in which each point corresponds to a total assignment of operators or algebras to local space-time points or regions. Wallace, in his forthcoming Against Wave Function Realism, argues, quote, wave function realism seems to rely on features of toy non-relativistic quantum mechanics, which, far from being universal features of any realistic quantum theory, drop away as soon as we generalize, unquote. The response is that wave function realism applied to toy non-relativistic quantum mechanics relies on features of toy non-relativistic quantum mechanics. However, the wave function realist achieves an interpretation of more realistic quantum theories by relying on the features of those more realistic theories, the same features on which the space-time state realist bases his interpretation. The second objection, B, Walt Simpson raised for wave function realism, is that the theory, quote, obscures the role of space-time in quantum theories. What seems to be underlying this objection is a kind of normative constraint that metaphysical interpretations of physical theories should themselves remain close to the mathematical structure of those theories. Wallace and Timpson defend their own space-time state realism for the fact that
it adds no additional interpretational structure, given that the compositional structure of the system is X hypothesized already contained within the formalism, and it gives an appropriately central role to space-time.
Meerwolde presents similar concerns as well, noting that characterizing the ontology of quantum field theories in terms other than an assignment of values to space-time regions is not what's done in the usual presentations. He also notes that the empirical content of quantum field theories remains tied to observables that are associated with regions of space-time. The first thing to note here is that the wave function realist does not reject the truth or empirical adequacy of the space-time representations that are characteristic of usual presentations of both conventional and algebraic quantum field theory. Her claim is not that these representations should be rejected, but rather that they should be seen as metaphysically explained or grounded in terms of a more fundamental representation of a field in a higher dimensional space. This is a metaphysical claim, motivated, as we've seen, by a commitment to fundamental separability and the thought that non-local correlations should be explained in terms of a more fundamental picture lacking them. I'll just say, it's worth noting, the Everettian quantum mechanics that at least Wallace prefers avoids non-locality as well. The wave function realist, when she appeals to non-locality, is really trying to distinguish herself from the Bohmian, right? Where the distinction with the space-time state realist comes from the rejection of non-separability. Because a wave function realist takes as a given truth, takes as given the truth of space-time representations, only questioning their fundamentality, there's no problem with her using them to understand the empirical content of quantum field theories, or even their role in standard expositions of quantum field theories. How closely a metaphysical interpretation of physical theory should adhere to the picture immediately suggested by the formalism is a vexed issue. Insofar as this is a desideratum, then we can see that wave function realism, when applied to non-relativistic quantum mechanics, does better at achieving it than does a strategy when applied to relativistic quantum theories, since textbook discussions of non-relativistic quantum mechanics often rely on the wave function and configuration space picture. However, well, not often, but they do. However, in the relativistic case, the wave function realist does have a justification for moving beyond the sort of picture suggested by the relativistic quantum formalism. And this is what she's trying to do to seek out what the strange observations constituting our evidence for quantum theories are telling us about the fundamental structure of the world. Of course, it makes sense when we construct quantum theories that do justice to our evidence and are relativistically covariant that we will start with space-time representations. However, the persistent correlations that we observe between spatiotemporally distant events suggest there's something more basic underneath the space-time picture. Or maybe it doesn't, but at this stage at least, it's not possible to know whether there is or there isn't. The aim of space-time, of wave function realism is to spell out what this more basic picture would look like if non-local correlations did possess some more fundamental explanation. And it doesn't seem possible to achieve a simple explanation of them without moving beyond a space-time framework. Okay, back to number C. So the third critique Wallace and Timpson raised for wave function realism, recall, was that relativistically covariant quantum theories violate narratability. The history of events cannot be told as a single story evolving over time, but will vary depending on the way one slices up the manifold into times. And this violation is surprising from the point of view of a separable theory like wave function realism, but not a non-separable theory like space-time state realism. To see how narratability fails, let's just look at the very simple example that Albert uses at the beginning of his discussion of narratability failure. So this is from the chapter in After Physics. Albert describes a system, S, consisting of four spin 1/2 particles. From the perspective of a frame of reference K, particles 1 and 2 are permanently located at their respective spatial positions, and particles 3 and 4 move with uniform velocity along parallel trajectories, intersecting the paths of particles 1 and 2 at space-time locations P and Q, respectively. P and Q are simultaneous from the perspective of K. The spin states of the particles may be described in this way as phi 1, 2, phi 3, 4, where phi AB is a singlet state. Now, what Albert notes here is that from the perspective of K, there's no difference between what I have here as H1 and H2, these two Hamiltonian descriptions of S's evolution. The effect of these two Hamiltonians, or ones like that, describe behavior like that, maybe described simply as S evolves freely or particles exchange spins upon contact. Interestingly, although reference frame K recognizes no difference between evolution according to these two Hamiltonians, since from the perspective of K, the state of S will always be phi 1, 2, phi 3, 4, this is not so in any other frame of reference K prime. And so the story or narrative of the evolution of S over time is dependent on one's reference frame. Nor can one transform between the description of K and other frames by a Lorentz transformation. No such transformation is possible, since it would require mapping identical states in K to distinct states in K prime. And so specifying a system state at all times in any one frame of reference is not sufficient to specify all facts about that system. Wallace and Timpson argue that on space-time state realism, narratability failure is natural given the interpretation's postulate. I'm really sorry.
Suppose that we have any space-time theory, which first is non-separable, so that there can be simultaneous space-time regions A and B, such as the state of A union B is not determined by the states of A and B separately, and second is also covariant. Covariance entails that there can also be non-simultaneous space-time regions whose joint state is not fixed by their separate states. This opens up the possibility of failure of narratability. Specification of global states and elements of one foliation on their own will not, in general, fix the joint states of non-simultaneous regions.
Okay. So what I want to say to this is the key issue, if narratability failure is to provide a case for space-time state realism over wave function realism, is whether the implication works in the other direction. So the failure of separability suggests a failure of narratability. This is what's being pointed out here. But does a failure of narratability suggest a failure of separability? It's not clear to me why it should, nor must the explanation of the failure of narratability arise from within wave function realism specifically, as opposed to what Albert's case shows, that it arises from the physical facts about entanglement and Lorentz covariance. So it's not a fact about the interpretation. As we've seen, Myhrvold objected to wave function realism that in quantum field theories, wave functions are constructed from structures defined on space-time, and so they cannot be more fundamental than space-time structures. He demonstrates a derivation of wave functions in the context of both non-relativistic and relativistic quantum field theories. We don't have to get into the details of these derivations, though, to see that this criticism of wave function realism is misplaced. The fact that wave function representations may be mathematically derived from space-time representations doesn't show anything about the direction of ontic priority. And the wave function realist, at least in the non-relativistic context, only argues that wave functions are ontically prior to space-time structures. Meerwolde's demonstrations don't show that space-time representations cannot similarly be derived from wave function representations, or the kind of representations I've argued the wave function realist should take to be tracking fundamental structure in the case of relativistic quantum theories. Meerwolde's other criticism, Meerwolde's other criticism relates to the wave function realist claim that our fundamental metaphysics consists of a field in a high-dimensional space. As we saw above, Meerwolde presents an example intended to show that the central object in the wave function realist fundamental metaphysics is not a field, as it isn't something defined by local assignments of values to regions of the space it occupies. There are several issues with Meerwolde's argument, the first being its reliance on an interpretation of relativistic quantum theories I've already noted the wave function realist should reject, one according to which what fundamentally exists is a plurality of wave functions of in spaces of increasing dimension. But set that issue aside, let's just go with this interpretation of wave function realism. Meerwolde's argument is still problematic. So I feel like I'm wearing you guys down. But I think that's good. I think I'm winning. there's just this objection, and then there's F, and then we're done. So we're getting there. Here is how I think Meerwolde's argument is supposed to go. So you say, in S1, the single particle wave function takes on a non-zero value at x. In S2, a state just like S1, except with a particle confined to a region R far from x, the single particle wave function will take on a zero value at x. So a non-zero value of a single particle wave function at x is incompatible with there being a particle located in region R, no matter how far R is from x. So facts about the assignment of values of wave functions to regions of wave function space depend on circumstances in distant regions. So wave functions are not defined by an assignment of local quantities to regions of the space they inhabit, and so wave functions are not fields in the usual sense. I wish to argue that depending on what one means by assignment of local quantities, the wave function realist will have good reason to reject the inference either from 4 to 5 or from 5 to 6. But before getting to this, it's worth noting why Meerwolde thinks this critique is so powerful against the wave function realist, and why I do think it's more interesting than the previous one. This is because, as Meerwolde recognizes, one of the central motivations for wave function realism is to provide a separable metaphysics for quantum theories. But if the state of wave functions do not depend on the assignment of local features, then the wave function realist metaphysics will not be separable. And so really the key point, and what I've stated, is the subconclusion 5 in the argument, right? So if that's right, then separability fails. So why even be a wave function realist? Now assuming that by assignment of local features, I have local quantities. Assignment of local features, local quantities. One means an assignment of features not determined by what takes place at distant locations. It's easy to see that 5 doesn't follow from Meerwolde's earlier claims. We find in S1 and S2 are two distinct wave functions, where the state of each wave function is determined by the assignment of amplitudes and phase, so this is ignored in the example, to each point in its space. The amplitude of the single particle wave function at x and s1 is not equal to the amplitude of the single particle wave function at x and s2, and this is what determines the fact that these are distinct wave functions. Now, Meerwolde notes that we can infer that the single particle wave function for s2 differs from that of s1 simply by noting that in s2 there's a particle definitely located at a distant region r. And this is due to a modal dependence between the fact about the particle and the fact about the wave function. But that there's a particle definitely located at R is not what ontically determines the amplitude of the single particle wave function at x for S2. The fact that's a brute fact, at least according to the wave function realist interpretation Meerwolf wants to argue against. According to the wave function realist, facts about the locations of particles are ontically derived from facts about the wave function or wave functions. The fact about dependence stated in 4 obtains because of this fact of ontic priority. So 5 simply doesn't follow from 4. This part of Meerwolf's argument simply begs the question against the wave function realists. It assumes that facts about the locations of particles determine facts about the wave function rather than vice versa. That the case for 5 begs the question is already enough to show that Meerwolf's argument doesn't undermine the case for wave function realism in the way he thinks it does. But there's another point that's interesting about the argument that's perhaps worth bringing out in more detail. What's going on in this case, we can see, is that in S2, since we are told that a particle is definitely located at R, we know that the single particle wave function must take on value 1 at location R. If single particle wave functions were normalized, this would mean that it must take on a value of 0 at every other location. As a rule, these individual single particle, two particle, so on, wave functions won't be normalized. Nonetheless, we can still infer that the amplitude of the single particle wave function at x is 0, since it's reasonable, it would still be reasonable to require that the amplitude square of the single particle wave function at, of all the wave functions at all of the points in all of their respective spaces must add to exactly 1. Now, one might read Meerwolf as saying that it's this fact that makes these wave functions unfield-like, that the amplitude the wave function takes on at one point depends on, that isn't to say determined by, but depends on what it takes on at another point. Surely one might think for waves in an ocean, one can have some peaks at some point, and this doesn't determine how they are at other points. If this is Meerwolf's concern and what might be motivating a move from 5 to 6 in my formulation of the argument, then this worry seems to me to be misplaced. Since actual water waves or waves on a string or whatever are always made of a finite amount of material, there necessarily will always be a dependence of what amplitude the wave takes on at one location and what it takes on at others. So if one likes, in a sense, one can say that waves of these kinds are not defined by an assignment of local features because there are dependence relations obtaining between the values wave takes on at distant locations. But noting that the wave function too has this feature doesn't make it in any way unfield-like, unless all of these things are unfield-like as well. Okay, so final... The final objection one finds in the literature, and so this was in this paper of David Wallace, challenges the wave function realist's privileging of the position representation, noting that such representations fail to be straightforward in relativistic quantum theories. My response to this objection is similar to the response I've argued the wave function realist should make to the first objection. This is that the objection mistakenly assumes that all features of the interpretation the wave function realist gives for non-relativistic quantum mechanics will carry over to interpretations of relativistic theories. As illustrated in a previous section, just as the wave function realist bases her interpretation of non-relativistic quantum mechanics on standard presentations of non-relativistic quantum mechanics, the wave function realist will base her interpretation of quantum field theories on standard presentations of quantum field theories. Or this is what I'm saying they should do. In the absence of a Lorentz covariant position representation of a quantum field theory, the wave function realist will construct her higher dimensional representation using a different basis. In the example in this paper, use a momentum basis. Importantly, the wave function realist may start from the same formal framework as the space-time state realist. We may see that at least some of the main objections raised to wave function realism, from the putative difficulties of extending the view to relativistic quantum theories, rest on the false assumption that the resulting interpretation of relativistic quantum theories must postulate a field in configuration space. Others rest on the failure to see that the wave function realist allows a truth and/or a legitimacy of space-time representations, and claims these are determined by the higher dimensional facts she posits. So it seems to me there are no clear barriers to extending wave function realism to the relativistic domain. Wave function realism should still be on the table as one among many interpretations of quantum theories. although the wave function and configuration space view is really only plausible as an interpretation of non-relativistic quantum mechanics. It's a particular case of a broader framework for interpretation applicable to relativistic quantum theories as well. Insofar as it provides the interpreter with a separable and local fundamental metaphysics, it may benefit from an air of comprehensibility that doesn't similarly apply to alternative approaches. And this itself makes it worth keeping on the table. So thank you.